reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. Though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ.
As Christians, we are in a war. Paul says that this war is not fought with man-made weapons of this world. It's not even fought on earthly battlefields. This war that we fight is fought in our hearts and our minds. Not a war with flesh and blood. It's not a war with the forces that can be seen. The war that we're in is fought in the spiritual realm. The weapons of this war are things like truth, righteousness, faith, obedience, salvation, the Word of God, and prayer. Ray read us the words in 2 Corinthians 10 and verses 3 and 5. But if you will, at this moment, turn to Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10. The words of Paul say, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, in that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes on your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Take on the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. And to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. You know, I'd like us to notice this morning some of the additional things that the Scriptures say about this war. First, it is a personal war. All of us who have been called by the gospel have our own personal battles to fight. I can't fight your battles and you can't fight mine. We are all touched by Satan in different ways. This is exactly what James tells us in James chapter 1 and verse 14, where he says that we are led astray and enticed by our own desires. That makes our temptations different. In Philippians 2 and verse 12, Paul tells us that we are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Paul speaks of his own personal war in Romans chapter 7. The most prolific writer of the apostles, the one who established so many congregations, is one of the apostles, and in his writings, he is so personal about his own shortcomings. In verses 21 through 24 of Romans 7, he says that the things that he should do, the things that he wants to do, are the things that he doesn't do. And the things that he is not to do, the things that he doesn't want to do, those are the things that he does. And he ends that all by saying, "O wretched man that I am." I think we can all say, been there, done that, can't we? Of course we can. Paul's just open and honest about it. We keep it inside. This isn't just a personal battle. This is a permanent one. The Christian life is not just one battle, but it is an ongoing, lifelong war. Living for Christ is not the 100-yard dash. It is an ultra marathon. It goes even beyond a marathon. Once we've obeyed the gospel, we have entered this race for life. In the book of Revelation, in chapters 2 and 3, Jesus affirms to the seven churches of Asia that a lifetime of faithfulness is demanded by God. And for certain, that crown of life, that hidden manna, the tree of life, the new names, the white robes, are promised for those who overcome, those who persevere, those who never give up. Friends, this is a war that we cannot and will not ever win. As long as we're living on this earth, there will never be a time where we can say, I've won. I don't have to fight anymore. I don't have to battle Satan anymore. Some of us may have said, I give up. Some of us may have said, I quit. I just can't do it anymore. I've fallen again. Those things have all crossed probably all of our minds at one time or another. And we're going to continue to say those things on and on in our battle that we're fighting each and every day. As long as this body is breathing, we're going to be struggling with this war that's within. The main theme behind the book of Revelations and the book of Hebrews, say, don't give up. Don't let Satan win. And while we are in this personal and permanent war, we must remember that God is powerful. God promises throughout the scriptures to enable us, to empower us, equip us to win and to overcome. There are scriptures that back this up. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The familiar verse of Philippians 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And what Peter writes in 1 Peter 4 and verse 11, whoever serves as one who speaks the oracles of God, whoever serves by the strength that God supplies. And 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. The one that I like to go to a lot for my own personal self. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure. We are in this war. But it is a war that we can win with God's help. We can overcome. And we can receive the promise of eternal life. Just as Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7, we also can say at the end that we have fought the good fight, that we have kept the faith, that we finished the race. And so we can also believe with all our heart that there will be that crown of righteousness that will be waiting for us. See, we live here on Satan's playground. This is where he rules. Why it makes life so difficult. But this morning, I just want to look at three areas where Satan is especially active today in our American culture and economy. Because, see, that seems to be on everybody's mind these days. There are three attitudes that inhibit our winning the war within. The first is that we are focused on a competitively achieved success. In our nation today, we are competitors. The way we measure success is not how good or how much like Christ we are within ourselves, but how we stack up to other people. Let me give you an example. Suppose you're taking a test in school, maybe in college. It's a difficult subject. Let's say biology. And you take the test, and you get your paper back, and you got an 87. And you're thinking to yourself, oh, wow, man, that's great. I never thought I could do it, but I made it. And then the teacher comes out, and she's very excited, and she's thrilled, and she comes in, and she says, I'm so excited. You all have done better than any class I ever had. As a matter of fact, the lowest score was an 87. Now, how do you feel? You see, competitively achieved success permeates our society. We don't see ourselves as successful because we have a quality education. We start to wonder, did I go further than others in educational pursuits? We don't think we're successful because we like our job or we're good at it. We compare ourselves with others and how well they are doing and have done. We're not happy because we live in a comfortable house and drive a nice car. But our house, is it bigger? Is our car nicer than someone else's? We must know and understand that the goal is not for us to give more, to do more, to be more than someone else in the giving and the doing and the being. The goal of the church is not to be bigger than the other churches. It's not to outdo the other churches. The goal for us as a church is to simply become the people that God would have us to be. Paul in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 12, he said that we are not to compare ourselves with others. And he says that when we do that, we're not wise, that we're immature. In Galatians 6 and verse 4, I like the King James Version better of this than the English Standard. But Paul says, examine, that we are to examine his own work. Let each examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Are we guilty of examining, of measuring, and judging ourselves by others, and examining others by comparing them to ourselves? This is wrong. And it is a sure way to lose the war within. We need to stop looking at ourselves in light of others, but examine ourselves in the light of what God wants us to be. We cannot fall into the trap of judging ourselves by anyone other than Christ. Secondly, commercialism, consumerism, and materialism will inhibit winning the war within. Satan's good at this. Satan has convinced us that we must have more and more in order to be happy. Folks, I'm going back in time. Now, there are some here that if you say, I don't remember that, you need to be in the front row at the invitation. But we remember the cars when we had the AM radio in the car. Oh, man, we were uptown with that. And if it had push buttons, it was high tech. And out come the AM/FM radio. Oh, man. Can you believe it? A whole bunch more stations we can listen to. And not long after that came that 8-track cassette player. You know, the one that you had a suitcase in the back with all your 8-tracks. It only had like 8 songs on it. We thought that was great. Oh, and then out come out the cassette player. Man, now you can hold 10 times more cassettes. Then the CD player came out in the cars. See where I'm going with this? You remember the TVs you used to have? You know, the ones that if your wife says, I'd like to have it over here, you got to call the neighbor over to help you move it. The TV that when we finally got our first flat screen TV, I took our old TV to Goodwill and they wouldn't take it. It ended up in the dump to be recycled. Now today you got the big screen, flat screen plasma TVs that your kids can move around. You see what's happening? The subtle message to all of us in advertising is this, that if we could have just one more thing, if we could have just the latest technology, we would be happy. Our lives would take on new and exciting meaning. This is the voice of Satan. This is what he's telling us. But here's what Jesus says. In Luke 12 and verse 15, Jesus said, take care. Be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Matthew 6, verse 33, Jesus tells us who to seek. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. This materialism, this consumerism, this money stuff is a very effective tool for Satan. Satan's third lie is that happiness is achieved through pleasure. We oftentimes measure life and happiness by how much fun we have. But we spend so much time having fun that we have no strength left over for the spiritual things. God tells us that true happiness, real joy and contentment is the byproduct of obedience to Him. Just look at the Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 6, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. King David understood this. He understood it so much that he began the book of Psalms in chapter 1 and verse 2, where he said, blessed is the man who delights in the law of the Lord and on his law, and he meditates day and night. Friends, that meditating has the connotation of not just thinking about the law, but doing it. And walking in the light of it and obedience. When we meditate on what we read and study, we take that with us every single day it should always be there in the back of my mind. And when we hit that situation where it applies, we use it to help us. The good life, the best life, is the life that is lived by God's agenda and not by our appointment book. Are we ready, really ready, to do what it takes to win the war within? Or are we going to allow the world to force us into its mold? Paul says that we are to put on the belt of truth, that breastplate of righteousness, that we're to shod our feet with the readiness of the gospel of peace, to use that shield of faith, to take on that helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and to pray on all occasions. This is how we can win this war within. And that war will come the last day, will end. And we can say we won. This morning, you can overcome this world. This morning, you can win the war by becoming a child of God. The Bible gives the plan of salvation as believing, hearing, believing, faith, repentance, confession, and baptism. You can have that this morning. You're here, you must be here because you believe. Your faith that must be in there that you know the Word of God is true. Finish it out today. Come and repent. Confess Jesus as the Son of the living God. And be buried in New Testament baptism and have your sins washed away. Exactly what Ananias told Paul in Acts 22, verse 16. Wash away those sins. And for those of us who have obeyed the gospel, let us also be mindful of the things that we've heard this morning. Let's not buy into Satan's lies concerning success, or materialism, or pleasure. Strive to become the person that God wants us to be. If you need to answer the invitation this morning, we pray that you'll come as together we stand and we sing.